said so. We don't have a pot, but at least I'm sure of all the things we got.
I got you, babe.
Welcome to Willie's View Podcast. It is December 24th, 2018. It's Christmas Eve, and welcome back, Romantica author M.A. Gonzalez.
Hello, it's good to be here again.
Oh my goodness, so how have you been enjoying your vacation time?
Oh, I haven't. I got the stomach flu. At least what felt like the stomach flu for the first couple of days, and it lasted for like 2.5 weeks.
Oh, bless your heart. So basically, it was an unexpected vacation.
Yeah, it was so nuts. I couldn't get out of bed. I mean, I couldn't eat anything. I started having anxiety and panic attacks from not eating. And then I started eating, you know, the brat diet. And then that worked for a couple of days. Then my blood sugar kept on plummeting, going up real high and going back down. So my heart was acting weird and everything. I thought I was dying for real. Mm-hmm. I mean, and everybody's all like, the stomach flu doesn't last for 3 weeks. So, no, this one, not 3 weeks straight, but, like, every couple of days it would come back on again.
See, that's what I hate because, like, it's the season, so you're going to get sick, and you're either going to get the 24-hour bug or the stomach flu or the basic flu.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody's saying, you know, because every year I know that there's tons of people against the flu shot.
Oh, no.
But I work with the elderly. My dad's elderly. He has a heart problem. My sister has asthma. My son has asthma. You know, I can't mess around with it, that if there's even a chance that it could help them, I have to get it. You know, it's just feels irresponsible for me not to. Yeah. And I know that what's in it might not be good for you, but, you know, walking outside in the city isn't good for you and taking a breath either, so.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I'm all for taking the shots if we really need it. But unfortunately, there's some times where I'm just not going to do it because I did it 1 year and I literally was sick for over a week.
Yeah, and then I always like to look and see what are the chances of it, you know, like if there's only a 5% chance that they got the right vaccine for the flu that year, then I don't even bother. But, every year, like clockwork with my dad, because he has, you know, a heart problem, he's got diabetes and high blood pressure, every year, like clockwork, he gets his pneumonia shot, and he's over 65, he gets his pneumonia shot and his flu shot. And a lot of the other people we work with, they're like, you know, close to 90, 80 or 90. So, you know, my husband and I talked about it, and we just feel like it's more responsible to do that.
Oh, I'm bad, though. If I'm going to open the door. I'll open the door. If the weather seems nice, I'll chance it. But if it's really bad, then yeah, I might end up doing it because I don't want to get sick because of that season weather. But overall,
exactly.
I'm doing okay and I'm not sick. Yeah, I'm staying away from that damn flu shot because I swear the 2 weeks, like you said, it makes you feel like you're literally just dying. And I hate that.
Oh, I didn't have the flu shot.
I hate that feeling.
That was just the flu. I didn't have the flu shot, but I haven't got that yet. But no, that was just the stomach flu.
So it's the holiday season. This is part two of our holiday episode, so yeah. What is your favorite part of the holiday? Like, do you have any traditions, or have you started any new ones?
I'm trying to think. Traditions? Well, this year, we didn't really, like, literally decorate the tree just, like, a couple of days ago because I couldn't even barely get up and have any energy to even decorate the tree because I kept on feeling so sick.
Evening
times especially. So, I mean, usually we decorate the tree early as a family. We put up decorations together. And we usually do it the first week of December. But this time like all the holidays this year, I've been sick for every single one of them. So this one was no different. So at least it got me before Christmas and not right on Christmas.
Knock on wood. I got sick a while back too, but luckily I didn't get sick for this year for Christmas, so that's better. I guess we gotta appreciate that we get sick before Christmas, right?
Right. Yeah. At least you get Christmas. So I've been better for a few days. So we're baking cookies this dinner. Oh, and we did start another tradition, too, is that, you know, on Christmas, we're not doing the big dinner anymore because we do the big dinner for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And it's too expensive. I mean, literally, we're shelling out like $600, if not more, for food. Mm-hmm. You know, like $350 because I got, you know, all my kids and my family, you know, and then we got the people that my husband takes care of that don't have any family that we bring over for Christmas too. So, you know, for one season, you know, at the end, we're paying like, we're shelling out sometimes like $700, maybe even $800 for Christmas dinner and for Thanksgiving dinner. So this year we're doing homemade pies, we're doing cookies, and we got some candy, and we're doing chicken enchiladas and rice, Mexican rice for dinner.
Oh my God, you're making me hungry. I love that. I love that. yeah. I was just telling my daughter yesterday, because we had our Christmas dinner yesterday with the family. It was wonderful. My sister did a special panini type recipe. It's so yummy. And then she did the salad. It's like a panini type recipe. You use it with the chicken and the noodles.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'll have to get you the recipe because it's so good.
Yeah.
There was no leftovers. It was so good. Salad was good. Yummy, yummy ham. But I told my daughter, we were laughing because I'm like, oh, I'm so thankful we did not get turkey this year, because I would get so stuffed on turkey, and it's good for Thanksgiving, but I don't want it for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, we did ham on Thanksgiving, just because turkey seems to make my dad sick, and with all of us, we're all trying to get healthy, you know, I mean, I stopped smoking, stopped drinking caffeine, so,
yeah, the turkey's, you know, good.
That's me, I'm trying to work on my husband now.
The turkey's good, but yeah, you do have to be careful which ones you get, because they're putting so much stuff into food now.
Yeah, and it makes your stomach upset, and my dad, he gets an upset stomach for like a day or two.
Your dad and I would get along, because I get that way too. I'm real bad about that, especially with the foods, just particular. You might want to warn him. He's going to hate me for this. Like, oh my God, he's going to listen to this on podcast. But stay away from the romaine lettuce. You'll get sick.
Oh, yeah, we've seen that. The recall that they had on it.
Oh, down here.
Is that what you're talking about, or are you just talking about in general?
No, in general, everywhere, because even here in South Texas, like, they're really being careful about that romaine lettuce, because if, like, you order a burger, sometimes they just, it was bad, like, a couple weeks back, but if they, to the point of when they get recalled, you're lucky if you're at a restaurant and you want to order a burger, and it's weird because there's no lettuce on it, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, that's kind of a warning sign, so, you know, it's better off just eating that at home. So you're not sick. If you want to eat the burger with the salad so bad, I kind of suggest you don't do the burger and just go to Subway's and do the sub without the lettuce and switch it for spinach, and you'll do a whole lot better.
Yeah, because my dad, he doesn't actually even really eat salad because iceberg he chokes on because he don't got no teeth.
Oh.
So I have him do a lot of spinach anyway because it's better for him. And then plus, you know, he's on Coumadin, so I have to keep track of what vitamin K he's eating and what he's not. So if he eats a lot of a certain type of vitamin K food, then I cut it down somewhere else. So that way it's not fluctuating his blood so much.
All right.
So he keeps me real busy, but I have my sister and my brother to help out with that. Yeah. But another thing I wanted to talk about, too, is that, you know, how I was going to release my second book, Dark Protector, at the beginning of January, and now I can't.
Oh, I know.
I had to push it back towards the end of January, so I had to tell all my followers and my readers, you know, that were counting on it. They're really understanding, though. They're really great, a great group of women, and I love them so much. And, but they completely understood, you know, they were giving me ideas on how to get me well, and they just knew that I was like, all right, I'm up now for a couple of days. And then like 2 days later, after, you know, working on my book and moving around, I would be back down sick again, throwing up and running a fever and sweating.
I've been doing the research for both of us, and I've done a lot. You might want to keep this in notes, but, I heard that ginger snaps and ice chips are really good.
That's the whole thing, is that ginger is supposed to be really good for an upset stomach, but my stomach was so upset that anything I put on it was, like, making me...
Oh, no, no. I'm talking about, like, when you get better. When you get better?
Just yeah, do the ginger snaps.
Swear, forget the potato chips. Try the ginger snaps. It's going to be good. And then also the ice chips. Don't do soda. Oh, yes. Don't do the drinks. I'm talking about actual ice chips. You'll laugh, but it's just like when you're at the hospital and they give you those damn chips. It's so good on your body that your body's cooling down.
I've been better now for a few days, but I was so parched for the first 2 days that I literally made myself sick on water. So I'll remember that for the next time that this happens.
Yeah. Or even for the kids or anything.
Was getting me the smart water, you know, the big 64-ounce ones, and I was downing that stone, like, within an hour.
Oh, you know what? I feel you. I've gone through all of that. It feels like a processing thing. I did the smart water to the point that I literally got sick. Because, you'll laugh, but the water started tasting like plastic.
Oh, really?
And that's bad. I do smart it's bad, because it's like, okay, well, what am, you know, because I'm trying to stay away. I was doing really good. I stayed away from my sodas and all this. And I drink my juices, but then I'm like, oh, maybe I'm overdoing it too much on smart water. So I stayed away from that. And that left me nothing but my juices and my maybe green tea and you'll laugh, but maybe kids punch something. As long as it's not soda. And I started feeling a little bit better. I think what it was, and I didn't realize it, I think I overdid it with drinking too much of that damn smart water.
Well, and you know, because your electrolytes too. Now, I was just going through this because my heart was acting funny and it was missing beats. Well, you know, when that first happened, the doctor said quit caffeine and quit smoking. So, you know, I quit caffeine. Nothing happened really. You know, it was still happening. Quit cigarettes, you know. So then I go to the ER because I'm still having it, especially with my body kind of being out of whack or whatever. They're all like, well, did you see anybody about it? Yes, I did. And everybody tells me to stop doing stuff and it'll go away. And I stopped doing stuff and it's still here. So, you know, it's, but then I was reading up on electrolytes, and if your electrolytes get too low, it throws your body out of whack. So if you get too much, it too throws your body out of whack.
Yeah. So, you know, so it's like damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Yeah, it's like a really fine balance. So like me, I'll have maybe two or three smart waters a week. Mm-hmm. And then I drink regular water. I do drink Diet 7-Up because I refuse to cut that out because I just can't right now. I literally just stopped smoking a month ago. So
I've been good. I drink my sodas. I've done really good. I don't drink it like trying to drink not like every day, but I've cut down on some of it. But one thing I have realized for myself is I really can't drink the Diet Coke. I tried it when I was drinking that, and then I stopped it, and then I tried it one day. I think there was like a Diet Coke in the house, and I tried it, and I literally did not like it. So I just stayed away from drinking any more of the Diet Coke.
Every once in a great while, like maybe if we go out to a restaurant, I can drink a diet soda. But lately, I'm not too keen on going out to a restaurant right now. I'm still kind of freaked out because I got the stomach flu. And
I wouldn't recommend it. I wouldn't recommend it for you.
That's for people not washing their hands after they go to the bathroom. So it's like once you figure that out and you're like literally sick for almost a month because somebody didn't wash their hands, it's pretty disgusting.
Oh, it is. Oh,
when you think about it, you're just like, oh my God. And it totally turns you out to wanting to eat.
Yeah.
Any place that you can't see them preparing your food with the gloves on. You know what I mean? We went to the mall and I got a pretzel and I made my husband stand there to make sure the girl had gloves on the entire time.
Oh, no, you really do. You have to watch everything these days. It's crazy, but you really do.
Yeah, so and that really just, I was like, oh, man, that's so gross. You know, like the same way how you get pink eye, you know, you get it from fecal matter, too. It's so disgusting when you think about it. And I'm like, man, you know, my mom, she stopped eating in restaurants about 40 before she wound up having a nervous breakdown, yes, but that was one of her things. She was afraid of the germs and stuff and everything. And I can see that I'm getting older.
They did a show on that. It was called, it's a USA series. It's really good. And yes, I do recommend it. It's called Monk. And it shows this guy that's really germaphobe. And I love it because that's kind of like today's society. We just got to be so careful.
And then it's kind of crazy because how Monk is, and he's so isolated if he didn't have his job, you know, that it's almost like when you get older, because things do affect you so much more as you get older than they did when you were younger. And like stuff that I think about now, I didn't even freaking think this shit when I was younger.
I know.
But now I'm coming up, you know, I'm going to be 38 the day after Christmas, you know, so I'm getting older, you know, and it's like more and more the mortality starts setting in. You start thinking about it. My parents, thank God, are still alive.
Yeah.
But, you know, I lost a lot of people this year. You know, you lost your brother.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry to hear that, too. And I sent you all my love when that was happening.
Thank you. Yes. I appreciate that. And you know what? Speaking of that moment, I was worried. I was worried about our, you know, still always say our friendship, of course. But I was having so many problems because there's, and you're not going to like this. There's so much stuff going on with Facebook right now that did you know that our information that we have on our Facebook is literally being given out without our permission?
Yes, I did know that. That is exactly why I don't keep any information on Facebook. I don't have a phone number on there. I don't have an address. I don't have a credit card.
I did that to the point. I did that one time. I tried to do it without the number, and you know what's funny? It kept like, oh no, like it wants the number. Like it wouldn't update it without the number. And you know what? I actually went on Facebook, and I gave them a message. I'm like, are you guys dealing with hackers or something? Because I shouldn't feel... At the time, that's how I felt at the time. But I'm like, why should I always have to add my number if I don't want it on there? You know, I mean, they gave me no choice. Like, on my name on Facebook, you know, it's got my full name. I don't like that. I don't like it like that. But they tell me it's because they're going by what you have on your ID, which I understand that.
But and I did wind up adding my phone number, too. Mm-hmm. Anytime that they ask you for stuff like that, just go online and search exactly what they're asking you for and their policy, and it'll bring up the step-by-step on how to, by law, to keep it. Because Facebook now, okay, with us writers, I don't know, do you have a news group?
What's that?
Oh, a news group is what, when you're writing, you send out newsletters to people. They have to sign up for it. You're and there's very strict laws with it. You know, they have to. There's a real roundabout way. It's a long process, but if you ever get into it, I can help you out with it. But anyway, you know, you wind up giving out a gift. Like, I give out a book that I don't have hooked up with Kindle, that I wrote just for this purpose in order to give out to them for signing up to my newsletter. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go through a third party, like I do MailChimp. And the people there, they sign up for our newsletters, and then you send them out a newsletter. Well, before people could just get, authors could trade email addresses of people and send, you know, basically spam the people and send them in for, you know, here's my newsletter, you know, without their expressed permission. Well, the laws on privacy changed about that. So since it did, laws with Facebook and everything else like that has changed too. That is why a lot of people are saying lately notifications got changed on their groups, this got changed on that, because Facebook had to update it too, but they just don't put out that they updated it. So
no, we find that out the hard way through the news. That's a good thing that you brought that up. I don't know, because then you're like me and being an author. If you ever feel that you need to stay away from Facebook for a while, there's a site that I use. It's really good. I highly recommend it to anyone that wants to try it. It's called MeWe. It's called it's MeWe, and it's what Facebook used to be, only a lot better. There's more security and there's not so much on censorship, but it's really good site to use, especially for you being an author. You would love the platform. There's a lot of readers that go on that site and they avoid Facebook now.
Yeah, and I was thinking about doing that too, because there is so much of Facebook.
You should try it. Just, I mean, even if you even have to do your own little, you know, I'd say, but as a mock-up backup account, if you don't want to use your own account,
well,
that's fine.
Because, I mean,
but I recommend it. I mean, I have it and it's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, I haven't got kicked out of my account for a little bit, but I had trouble there for about 2 months, and now I'm reading, or about a month, I had trouble there, and I'm reading now that everybody's having the same trouble that I had about 6 months ago. And
I was one of those people. I was one of those 60 people that got hacked on the Google Mail, the Gmail.
Get away from there at the table to do that. You're going to hit my antique. Move. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, and it's so crazy. What really gets me is the censorship that it is, you know, and how censored I'm starting to feel like in America in general. But, it, you know, it's okay to say racial slurs and everything else like that, but don't show a pair of tits or a pair of nipples or some ass, because, you know, you're going to get shut down, blocked. People are going to send you hate messages. But if you want to talk shit about your next door neighbor who's Mexican or black, then feel free. By the way, anybody listening to this, I'm Mexican, American, or Mexican and Native American. So I'm just in general.
Oh, and I'm Latino American.
I'm also white too, so I'm not trying to say anything racial. You know, you'd be the same thing about saying, oh, my white man next door. Mm-hmm. You know, just the whole point of it is, you know, we should all fight back against racism and using racial slurs, and less about seeing boobs or man nipples or butt, or, you know, I mean, I understand not wanting your kids to come across it, but technically, when you want to come across it, Facebook isn't supposed to be kids either. It's supposed to, you're supposed to be like, I think it is, what, 16 or 17 to have an account?
It's supposed to, but now they changed it since they've been doing that Facebook-friendly messenger now. Anybody can go on it now.
Well, yeah, and now they have a kid-friendly messenger that you just install so that way nobody can...
Oh, I don't, you know what, I'm going to tell you, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. I don't even trust it for my own kid. Mm-mm. Not that Facebook-friendly one, no. I just, there's something about it.
I don't trust that Facebook-friendly either. I got both my kids, they have Messenger and they have Facebook. They don't go on Facebook too much. You know, my oldest one's starting to a little bit more. But I have their accounts and I have their passwords. I got something for you
for a parent-to-parent. If you don't want them to use Messenger, which, again, I don't recommend it, go on Google Play and download. It's called Facebook Friendly.
Oh, yeah?
It's a lot better. I use it, and it comes in handy. Because you know how, I mean, I'm not saying nothing on people, but you know when you open up the Messenger and you get all these messages from people and you're seeing all these chain letters that people send out. And this is just to defend people. It's not the people sending it. I think what it is, and I hate to say it, there's something with Facebook where they're doing some hacking or virus or whatever you want to call it. Because if you do a phone scan on Facebook itself, there's literally like so many viruses that it goes through.
Yeah, it's so weird because I don't get no chain messages. I see a lot of people talking about that.
I do. When I use the Messenger, I've gotten quite a few. But this is where I was going to give you a recommendation. Check out Facebook Friendly, and you don't need Messenger. You don't need Facebook. You can use the Facebook and the Messenger, like for messages. You can use it on Facebook Friendly, and it's a lot better. Also, you save less storage on your phone, and you won't need the app of Facebook or the Messenger. It's just a suggestion. Okay, cool.
I'll definitely keep that in mind. I'll check that out.
It's a little icon logo. It looks like a little alien, but it's called Facebook Friendly.
A little alien? Okay.
Yeah. Also, you can do the same thing for Twitter. They got a new one for Twitter. It's called Facebook Friendly for Twitter. You can do the same thing. Less storage. Less hacking. I don't know. It's, you know, it's a really good product. I recommend both.
I don't usually have trouble with Twitter. Okay. I know Tumblr now has gone full censorship. So I know, you know, Michael Stokes, I follow his Twitter. And actually, he wrote back to me the other day, or messaged back to me the other day that I had commented on it because, you know, he does the male nude models. So, you know, bless him for that because, you know, it's a great service to everybody.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these veterans, they don't get recognized for their sacrifices or anything.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And I know a lot of them, you know, they're nude and everything, but I think he shows it in a way that isn't taboo, that it doesn't feel dirty, it doesn't feel nasty, it feels more like refined art. Yeah. And he has to pull, you know, his Tumblr account, he has something like, I think he said 300,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
On Tumblr, and now not no more because obviously they banned all his photographs.
Oh, okay. When you talk
to the male nipples, oh no, wait, not all of them. The ones with the male nipples only got banned.
Okay, when you talk to him again, tell him that Willie suggests trying MeWe, and he can do that, and it won't be as bad.
I'll just send him a comment on his page because I didn't really talk to him. He just commented back because I commented on his post. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. Just that's.
But I'll comment that to him too if he brings up Tumblr again. I'll tell him to try MeWe. That's what everybody's going to.
Yeah. People were asking.
He's more active now on Twitter. He said. Well, he said he was going to be more active now on Twitter because of it.
Yeah. Well. And I know people were asking me because it was again with the changes. They were asking me about the Tumblr, and I told them that I'm not leaving anytime soon on Tumblr because if you're not really doing anything wrong, there's really nothing to be worried about.
and Tumblr is not, it's their censorship is getting worse than Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, no, you know, I agree. I agree only, with that. The only reason I keep Tumblr, the only reason I keep it is because it literally keeps my readers and my fanfic readers in tune when I write. And it's like a great platform because they can click it and they can go onto it. Besides using my own magazine and Instagram, and then there's Facebook and Twitter, there's also Tumblr. But like you said, there's a point after a while, I think what it is some of these sites are kind of crashing on their own.
Yeah, and what the whole thing about it is Facebook only started after, go down there, guys, get on your tablets, both of you, fats, go. The whole thing is, you know, once Tumblr started putting in their actions of censorship, that's when Facebook started getting more worse. Facebook started all of a sudden, oh, we're going to ban this, we're going to ban that. You know, they started tightening up their scrutiny. Mm-hmm. And it got me kind of really scared a little bit about the politics of America with everything that's going on with Trump and all that stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I won't get into too much because I know that there is no in-between with that. Either people love him or they hate him. You know, and it's like really, really love or really, really dislike or hate.
Yeah.
But, and everybody has their own opinion about it, and everybody takes it so personal, like it's a favorite uncle or whatever, you know, like they're marching on it. It's crazy. You know, the people whose lives it affect, I understand, you know, I would take it personally too, and it affects everybody. But, you know, it's kind of got me scared a little bit because, you know, we're seeing all this new censorship all of a sudden, you know, with the internet and stuff. And in China, you know, everybody says that the internet is free, that there's freedom in the internet. You can do whatever, freedom of speech. They can't censor you. Only sites can censor you. Well, that's not entirely true because in China, the government censors the internet.
Oh, you know what? That's perfect. You mentioned that because, you know,
not
I love
for the whole world, but for China, it censors Chinese citizens' access to the internet and what they can see. As we know, so does North Korea. So why all of a sudden now are we seeing such censorship in different parts of the country? You know, one other thing too, all of a sudden now, Kindle. You cannot buy, before they weren't so tight on if you were a U.S. citizen or an Australian citizen or the Netherlands or wherever it is you may live.
Mm-hmm.
And having a U.S. account, selling your books through that U.S. account. Now all of a sudden, they do. And it's just the USA that's cut off from anybody who isn't a U.S. citizen being able to use it or sell it that way.
Oh, so and then
this kind of stuff gets me worried. It almost makes me feel like we're getting isolated, we're getting censored. You know, it kind of feels like, you know, Stalin, when he came into power and censorship was the first thing he did.
Yeah, it's a sign of the change of the times. It's some are getting better and some are not.
Yeah, it's super scary. I mean,
and then also, did you know with Amazon that a lot of authors are having a hard time getting certain covers to be approved by the Amazon?
Yes, and that's another thing too. Certain with the covers, I believe is that if it depicts too much nudity or sexually suggestive material. So the whole thing with that is it is in their policies. When I signed up for Kindle, I read through the whole policy and it is in the policies. They're just policing that now.
Yeah.
So I don't know, is because they hired like 5,000 other people on to do certain stuff like this that they had put out, that Amazon was hiring, you know, 5,000 or maybe it was 2,000, something like that, workers. And one of the things was specifically for the publishing department. And I think it was for this particular reason was to put, you know, to start enforcing the policies that they had.
And then the other part is crazy. It's like just a simple cover, like, you know, for the romantic authors, just like you and me and other people. Like you, let's say there's like the back, you know, the backside of the guy with the shirt off or whatever, and then they show the jeans. Even just simple things like that, they're just being really cautious on a lot of that stuff, like, unlike the before.
That's so crazy. And that kind of a thing, I mean, I know a lot of people don't want to, and they think that it's, you know, that it's just kind of like a waste of time, but I really just, I write and write or call and call and just
it's
try
not
to push
that.
The
it's just,
and,
think about know, the people you, that put so much effort into those covers and then they can't get them
right.
approved.
And if you want to write, you know, you want to write, you know, the written word too, but if you just want a basic write that you don't see anything wrong with, then challenge it, you know, even if it takes you a little bit to get it published, you know. I think one of the things that I just recently found out about the indie publishing business is that I've heard a lot of authors complain about it, and almost to the point of crying, is that their readers are impatient. Like, you know, she said that her readers, that she had gotten an email asking why it was taking her so long to write a book. She literally just finished the book that the writer wrote, and that she was already waiting for another one, and that she had already waited 2 weeks. So this lady literally bought the book, read it, and expected to be able to read the sequel to it in 2 weeks.
No, okay.
And the author was ripping her hair out online, crying, talking about how she wasn't going to write anymore, that she was ready to give up because she couldn't keep her readers happy, and that she couldn't write any faster than she could. She couldn't even write a book a month. It took her a little bit more time than that. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care, because if my readers like me, awesome. If they want to follow my work, that's great, because that's what I'm trying to build up in a career. But I am not going to write a book a month.
You know what? I'm gonna prove a point. You remember before I had my original account when I was with y'all out on Facebook, and then when that one got so much to a point of hacking, I literally just told Facebook, okay, this is it. I'm gonna leave that one, and I'm just gonna start fresh. And you saw me that started fresh. And you know the point I'm making is, do you know that only my true loyal readers followed me? The other ones didn't, and that's great. That shows who your real friends are and who your readers are.
Exactly, and I think that it also.
And I'm a lot better for it, because I don't have all that extra nonsense that the other people were putting on there, you know. And it's my fault too for adding so many other people, of course. But we live and learn. But at the same time, it's a learning process, and through that,
well,
I learned.
Wow. You know, I think that that's why a lot of authors, they open up a group or they open up an author page, so that way they can be personable with their readers, but not so personable as having them on their private account.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
but I think that, you know, I mean, obviously we're always going to have to take that chance, but, you know, that's what, that's, and I told her that, and, you know, I'm like, honestly, really think about it. How often are you going to be able to burn yourself out putting out a book a month? For the rest of your career, that means no vacation time, no nothing. Literally, all your time is going to be spent writing, because you're so afraid of what this one reader said.
Well, not only
that. And then he's like, well, what would you do if you lost readers? I would say, thank you for reading my work, but if you don't want to follow me, that's cool, because I don't want somebody who's impatient and going to hound me following me anyway.
Well, you know what? I agree with you on that, because, like, you know, when I first started, I had people that read it. My book, and you know, they have their little says of 1-star vote of views or whatever you want to call it. It was discouraging, but I didn't give up. I kept going, and I'm glad that I did, because I got, for each one of those little 1 views, I got at least maybe 3 more that liked it. And we're not going to be able to make everybody happy, and I wouldn't really want to, because that's, they put too much demands on too many people.
Exactly. And I think, you know, the other thing is too, you know, if you want, there's quality and then there's quantity, you know. And I'm not saying that the authors that do manage to put out a book a month, that they are, you know, crap or quantity or whatever. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, for me, when I write a book, I can finish the rough draft in 2 weeks. You know, if I set my word count and everything, I can finish in 2 weeks. I can finish about 70 to 80,000 novels. But I have to go back over it, and I go back over it at least 2 times before I send it to my editor.
You have to go through the edit. You have to go through your edit process.
And then I go through it 2 more times with my editor. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you figure I can write a book in 2 weeks. Yes, I can, but I have to revise it and make sure everything makes sense, especially if it's a paranormal. You got to make sure you have the details right. did her hair, you know, make sure that you kept her hair brown and her eyes green, or, you know, his hair black and his eyes brown, or whatever. Yeah.
These readers will eat you alive.
If you have something like that, if there is a that one mixed thing in there, they will eat you alive. And that's why I think it's in very poor taste for some of them to be so anxious and putting so much stress on one of their favorite writers to produce a good, what's the word I'm looking for? Quality
product.
Well-written product. Novel in a month when they feel like reading it.
Yeah, and then the other part, and I don't know if you knew this, I have some sad information to share, but overall, already beginning in this year alone, we've had 40 popular, the readers, what we call them, authors. We've lost like 40 authors and a few that have already retired due to all this craziness and bulliness that we've endured throughout this year alone.
Well, and see, that kind of a thing, that goes back to me talking about, you know, having a thick skin, too.
Yeah, it's crazy.
This world is no different than the real this is the real world, too, but, you know, the paperback world of New York is even worse.
Oh, I know. It's a jungle.
Look at what Nora Roberts just went through with the one writer saying that, you know, she was copying her, and Nora Roberts was getting bullied, too. You know, and I had some outs with I don't know if you heard about that, but her name's Toni something. I forget what never heard of her before. I'm sure a lot of people did. Mm-hmm. And but, you know, there's a lot of people defending her for her decision. I will never defend somebody who is basically acting like a tyrant. And to me, a tyrant is somebody who accuses somebody of something without knowing their facts, without mm-hmm. doing their research, yes. or anything else, you know. And I did hear a couple comments from people that were like, oh, I was going to, you know, jump to Nora Roberts' defense, too, until I realized that she was, you know, of color. It shouldn't matter what her color is. It shouldn't even matter if she's a damn alien. You do not accuse anybody without sound purpose.
I think that's what it is. It's just too much craziness out of control.
And it is.
Like,
and Nora
they forget
Roberts,
what it's about. They forget the topic they're talking about. All they're looking at is, like, I hate to say it, but like what you're saying. They're just looking at the color and all this other stuff.
Yeah, and Nora Roberts handled it great, you know, and then people are like, well, you know, this one writer with the one book that hit it big, okay? And they're all like, well, yeah, well, that's what happened to her. You know, her career got destroyed. Right, but she was the one holding the gun at her own foot.
Yeah, you know, you got to be careful.
She's the one who made her own name synonymous with freaking the not truth. You know, she's the one who made the accusation. So it's kind of, you know, in my opinion, just because we're in such a state of racial trepidation in the United States, to even use it in a literary argument, oh, because that didn't happen to a white writer. Well, I'm pretty sure that it happened to any writer that accused another writer of plagiarism that wasn't true.
And then the debate that it's still going on between, oh, how can women write MM books when it's supposed to be a guy? No, I don't agree with that, because anyone should be able to write whatever their heart's desire of their genres and these stories, because let's go back to the time of, Huckleberry Finn. Do you remember all the craziness that they went through back then?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, too, with, you know,
somehow... We're kind of reverted in a time machine and everything's going backwards again.
Well, and there's lots of writers that were back then, a lot of women that wrote underneath men names for this reason, you know, and I think that the only thing that the self-published world has done is that it has made it easier for authors to contact their readers. That's it. This is why readers should not know too much about your personal life. I don't have any pictures of my kids on my Facebook. I don't have any pictures. I have some pictures of me, mm-hmm. some pictures of my, you know, decorations at my house, but that's it. There is a line that you should not let people know too much about you, because when you start getting more well-known and you start getting more popular, bullying does come along with it, and you have to protect yourself.
Oh, yeah.
The second thing is not having such a thin skin. You know, who are you really doing this for? I know it's hard to, you know, take a breath and step back, but, you know, the fact of the matter is, the less people that you engage with in social circumstances and talking about stuff or whatever, maybe even putting down that author that you didn't know because she did something that another author said was messed up or whatever. Mm-hmm. The more you're going to open yourself up to that because you're associating with people who are already talking shit.
Oh, yeah. It's like one of those...
You know what I mean? It's just like in life. Who do you associate with in life? And mm-hmm. It's the same way. You open yourself up for bullying depending on who you associate with in life. And the same thing is going to happen with you in the book world. You know, I mean, I love to read. And some of my favorite writers, I got to wait a year for them to come out. If they come out with 2 books in 1 year, we're doing pretty good.
Oh, amen for that. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not one of those people that, like, oh, I got to have it right now. I mean, I'm patient. If books, whether it's, whether I finished it in a week or 2 months or whatever, don't get me wrong, I want the next book too, just like anybody else, but I can be patient for the book to release.
Well, and I think a lot of these writers that feel that way, it's, I think that they're genuinely nice people mm-hmm. and they want to keep their writers happy, but then they wind up putting so much pressure on themselves that it's sad when you see them.
Oh, I know. My heart breaks. I know exactly what they're, you know, to relate a little bit to that. I myself also try to stay clear of certain of that, what you're saying, the too close proximity of it. But at the same time, yeah, I definitely agree with everybody listeners that if you can avoid the debates and the conversations of protecting he, she, and this and that, you're going to do a whole lot better.
Exactly. And, you know, I stopped writing when I first started writing. We had this conversation before back in 2008. I did kind of have a falling out because I had a falling out with some of my editors, with some of my publishers, and they were, you know, just kind of, a lot of people were kind of mean back then. It was just starting up, and it's no different now than what it was back then, except for there's a lot more people in it now than there was back then. But I stopped writing for 10 years, and when I came back this time, I swore that nobody was going to keep me away from writing. And I think that, you know, when you taste success, the success that we didn't have back in the day, which we didn't have the instant gratification of being able to go and look every day or every 20 minutes to see who bought your book, to see who left a review for your book. You know, back in those days, the reviews were submitted to the publisher, and then the publisher would send it to you when you got a review, and it was only from review sites. And that kind of made you feel more synonymous, like you could keep the bad away from you. Mm-hmm. And I think that now it's so important that we do that same thing. A lot of writers that I talk to, they do not go on Goodreads. They will not go and look at, they'll add their books to Goodreads, but they will not go into Goodreads to read their reviews or anything else.
I'm one of those. I stay away from Goodreads. I appreciate what it does. I put my books out there. But I'm like you, I stay away from the interactions as much, the debates and everything.
Oh, I go to Goodreads. I like to see what people say about my work, good or bad. Mm-hmm. But this is going to sound bad, but I think in order to be a successful writer, especially in the self-publishing industry, you have to be a little narcissistic, you know? And I'm a little bit narcissistic because I have my husband who helps me with it and my kids. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then eventually you just shrug it off and say, that person doesn't know what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you have to that time, because I get my 2-star reviews and my 1-star reviews, but then I got like, you know, 3 2-star reviews and a couple 1-star reviews, and then I got like 25 5-star reviews. So like, what am I stressing out about? You can't please everybody, you know, just like when you're out there dating, not every guy you come across or every girl you come across is going to think you're hot. But you're going to really like the ones that do think you're hot. So, yeah. And do you really pay attention to the ones that don't think you're cute?
Yeah,
not past grade school, you don't.
Yeah, that's true.
And you have to be that same way in writing, too. You've got to forget about the ones that don't like your work. Otherwise, you're just going to bog yourself down with negativity, and you're going to beat yourself up. And the bottom line is, you know, what's one person's cup of tea isn't going to be the next, and you can't expect it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you have like any cool Christmas movies that you enjoyed while you were growing up?
Not really, because they didn't have a lot of Christmas movies when I was growing up. But I can't say this enough, too, because I got sick, and it's so sad. And I was having anxiety so bad because I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to watch something that was lighthearted, not something that didn't have a lot of stress in it. And okay. I know that it's cheeseball-y, but Hallmark Christmas movies are the best.
Oh, my God. They're like the recovery movies.
They're kind of cheesy and corny. They're pretty awesome.
If you're sick, I highly recommend you watch Lifetime movies and Hallmark. They're amazing. They're like the next thing for recoveries.
Exactly, because it gives you that positive, good feeling. You know, I watched a movie with Candace Cameron Bure, the one that played as DJ Tanner in Full House. And it was a cute one. She went up to Alaska. And normally I don't really care for her because she's so vocally Christian with her views.
Is that the one she would try to get married to her fiance?
No, she went out there. She was a doctor, and she went out there and started heading up a clinic, and she didn't know if she was going to stay or not. She had broken up with her boyfriend.
That's weird. It sounds like that movie with, what's his name? I can't even think. He played Alex Keaton on one of those classic shows.
Michael J. Fox.
It sounds like a Michael J. Fox film. The way you just described your movie with Candace Cameron, I'm like, is that a Michael J. Fox film?
Doc Love or something? She made it in like 2014, and it's a real cute movie, and it's about, you know, it has Santa Claus in it. So that was the first one I watched, and it's so funny because then my husband was putting it on for me because I always leave the TV on in the living room when I'm by myself because I just am weird like that. And,
do you remember the title?
I don't remember it, but I'll have to look it up and share it with you. But it was so cute. And then that's what got me on to watching the Hallmark movies.
Oh, I love that, yeah.
On watching it, and it's so funny because we did that for a few days, and I started feeling better. I was more upbeat. Remember, I was telling you I was having bad anxiety. My anxiety level went down. I mean, I don't have anxiety now anymore. I got a little freaked out about that because my mom kind of had a breakdown around my age.
Right.
And it just happened out of the blue, so I kind of got scared about that. But that wasn't it. It was just because my nutrition was out of whack. So I started feeling better, but it's because I think because I was having positive thoughts because I was watching just these positive, good, clean, you know, feel good movies that obviously, you know, were pretty cheesy and stuff, but they were cute. So
you know what, you brought it up.
Those are my Christmas movies. If you're having a bad year, it's just not your day, you're stressed out, whatever, turn on some Hallmark Christmas movies. And even if you laugh because it's so cheesy, it'll put you in a better mood.
You are bringing up some good topics there. I love that. Definitely highly recommend Hallmark and Lifetime. They're really good. And yes, Lifetime because it's funny and it's like, oh, that won't ever happen. That's the point. It won't ever happen. So enjoy it. It's a romance. It's a
scoop. That's my whole
it's
thing
fun.
With romances. Even with our writing and everything, too. My whole thing with romances and everything too right now is that everybody says about, you know, oh, they like to, you know, romance doesn't have to have a happily ever after. And I'm all for people who like dark romances. I'm all for people who say, okay, well, you know, I like to have a different dark twist in my romances or whatever, because I like them to be realistic. Me personally, I do not like realism when I'm reading. I like the love scenes and everything, but I like my characters to go through some bad stuff, but I like them to ultimately wind up together at the end and to beat all the odds. Because if I wanted to see ones where they didn't, you know, then I'd go back and look over my life where I've had failed relationships, where I've had failed marriages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that I would do.
Oh, I agree. And I agree with you. Not every book needs to have, like, a happy ending. I mean, there's books, and you're going to, of course, work in progress on my stories. And I swear, not every book that I'm going to write is going to have a happy ending. And if a reader doesn't like it, then that's too bad.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said, there's a taste out there for everybody. One that I would like to recommend that I don't think she gets, I mean, she has a lot of followers and everything. I'll call in a minute. We're going to be off here in a minute. Sorry, I had to tell my husband.
Oh, no, that's fine. I was going to say, before I let you go, is there like maybe three Christmas songs that you enjoy during the holidays?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that my littlest one knows how to sing.
Uh-huh.
And...
Is he with you?
Yeah, she's right here.
Oh, let's hear it. It's Christmas time. Let's hear her sing it.
Yeah, sing it.
Come on, stand up. Sing Rudolph. Come on. Stand up real quick.
Here,
come on, I'll give you a candy cane.
Ready?
Say Rudolph. The red-nosed reindeer.
Come on. Hurry up. We're on there. Come on.
She's being shy.
Oh, it happens. It's okay. Okay.
You want to sing for the radio real quick? You want to sing Rudolph? No. Apparently all my kids are too shy.
Oh.
One other one that I know has been getting some controversy is Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Favorite movie. And I wonder how many people that, you know, I've read so many ones where people are like, well, that's infidelity. Wonder how many people have realized that Mommy was really kissing Daddy, who was dressed up as Santa.
There's a lot of schools. There's a lot of schools this year that they took that song out of their pageants being performed. Sing that song.
It's so crazy because all it was Daddy was dressed up as Santa Claus, and that's why the little boy caught Mommy kissing him for.
Yeah, but they like to make, you know how society,
and they make it,
society like, tries, you know, to make anything ugly these days.
It almost makes me wonder if somewhere along the line most adults today missed reading comprehension in school. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. It's just, but anyway, that's a subject for another time. And my third song is White Christmas.
Oh, I love that. That's a good one.
I love that song. Bing Crosby, White Christmas.
Okay. Here are mine. I got three. Silver Bells. I love Silver Bells.
Oh, I love that song too. We were just listening to that in the car the other day.
I love Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland. Oh, I love that one too.
And then also I love Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Now we should do three songs that you absolutely do not like for Christmas.
That'd probably be another show.
One song I do not like is Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh, then it's a good thing.
One year she played that song for 16 days straight. No, and it's a great song, but I just listened to it 16 days straight, like the year before last, and I just cannot stand it no more.
Oh, I know. It's like everybody playing Justin Bieber's Mistletoe.
Oh my gosh, I don't like that one either. Hey, but nobody will hate me for saying that I don't like Mariah Carey, because I'm not saying I like Baby It's Cold Outside, and we all know that that's just a demon song.
Oh, it's been fun having you back. We got to do this some more often. Merry Christmas to your family, and
thank you.
Enjoy your night.
Say
it's
Merry
great
Christmas.
Having you. Bye. Merry Christmas.
Bye. Tell your daughter Merry Christmas too, honey.
I will. Bye-bye, sweetie.
Bye.
All right, everybody. It's been so much fun hosting tonight's Christmas Eve holiday episode for all of y'all. Wow, time goes by fast when you're having fun, right? Okay, well, I'll see you on the flip side. And this has been Willie's View Podcast.
Too long, 'cause I don't care with you, I can't go wrong. kiss goodnight. I got you to hold.